Well, thanks, guys. This is fun.
Thanks, Doug.
It was a pain getting us all connected, but we did it, so.
Amen.
Yeah, The Shining just continually arises in my feed.
Never go away.
Yeah,
it's crazy. There's a fun one, if you guys are ever interested, that me and Bill came up with together, and I've watched it 4 times now, and it's fucking great every time, Spring Breakers by Harmony Korine. Did you guys ever see that?
Is that with James Franco?
Yes. And then a bunch of Disney girls.
Yeah. Selena Gomez.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, when it came out, nobody knew what the hell it was. And it's the director of Kids, you know, so, like, you know he's up to something. And somehow he got these Disney princesses in there, and he got Franco in it. And it's a great movie on its own. But me and Bill came up with playing Jane's Addiction's Ritual de lo Habitual at the first part, and then Kanye West's Yeezus at the second part. And it's a trip. It's really a lot of fun. I highly suggest it. Bill made a blog about it, and you started at 56 seconds.
Do that one at the sports bar. You can do that one at the sports bar.
Yeah. There's enough. There's titties and ass in it, so. That might keep the drunks quiet, you know. But that's a fun one, and I've been enjoying that. So when's the first time this screened? Was it with Room 237?
No, the first time was like January. I can look it up. Maybe.
Yeah, if there's
it's what prompted my inclusion in Room 237 is that the author Jonathan Franzen went to the screening and he's friends with Rodney. And
really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
No, I mean, like, there was, like, the first screen of it, like, got a write-up in Time Out and was pulled out, like you couldn't get in, kind of like New York thing.
Wow.
And it was a big, you know, like, everyone loved it. It was great.
Cool. Important question. So, how do I download I'm going to hook my computer up to the projector and,
just send me your email address and I'll send you a link to it.
Okay.
On my Dropbox.
Okay, cool.
It's like 2 or 3 gigs. Can't remember.
So I'll just send you a message on Facebook with the end game email.
Yeah, just DM me your digit.
I'll shoot you an email right now.
Yeah, and I'll send you the this mix when I finish editing it.
It's cool. Is it on Spotify or something?
What's that?
Is it on Spotify?
No. I'd just send you an MP3 if that's all right.
Sweet, yeah, that works. There's a great sound system in there. They do have a nice projector, so it'll be cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a mix.
Sweet.
A mix LP.
Yeah. All right.
On vinyl.
Yes, only vinyl.
Yeah. Gatefold. Yeah.
You both are artists. I'm wondering if you guys are working. I mean, artists in the larger, not necessarily visual artists, but just are you guys working on anything interesting worth noting these days?
Working on a record as usual, and playing shows in my band.
What's your band called?
Acceptor with all E's.
Okay.
Do you guys have a Bandcamp page or something?
Oh yeah, we got all that. Bandcamp, ASCAP.
Nice. And are you still in New York or are you in LA?
No, I moved back to New York several years ago.
Okay.
After a 2-year LA experiment.
Yeah.
It's a lovely city.
I
enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's cool. I love going out there. My dad
it's the sink hotbed. It's just all sink. I mean, New York's all sink too, but I would imagine Chicago's got it.
Yeah, Chicago's got some cool stuff. There's a theater here called the Music Box that's awesome, and they show a lot of 35mm prints. And they just ordered a copy of, from the only studio left doing it, they ordered a print of 2001 Space Odyssey in like 70mm, you know, something crazy. And they're doing it because they're like, they do these events, they've made enough money that they're actually ordering this, and they're making it, which can't be cheap, and they're going to own it so they can screen it. They were the only theater, like one of, you know, two or three theaters to do, like when Tarantino did 70mm Hateful Eight, they were the one that could do it in Chicago because they have the screen and the projector for it. So they're bringing back 35mm and 75mm. And like last weekend they did like David Lynch retrospective. They showed all of his movies, and he shows up, and Paul Thomas Anderson goes there. It's crazy, and they're really bringing back film, like the actual film, and kids go there, and it's really great.
Yeah, it's the event. I mean, I love events.
Right.
I mean, being a performer.
Events are just
focus.
Yeah.
It's important. It's important that this stuff is seen. You know, not someone alone, like watching it alone, but someone watching this with other people.
Yeah.
I don't even mind talking during movies.
You don't?
It used to happen more often. Yeah. I've lived in New York for a while. It used to be you go see a movie in the theater, and like people are just going off, talking to the screen, you know, cracking jokes, like smoking. It's a different scene, you know, in the 80s, early 90s, and now it's all clean.
Totally.
I just remember like going to the movies as being it's like going to bars for kids.
Yeah, there's an arcade outside, everything's all rowdy.
Yeah.
The movies are fucking loud now, though, too.
Oh, man, yeah.
I saw, like, that Guardians of the Galaxy, and I mean, I was, like, deaf going out there.
That is a lot. I sneaked a cam version from a DVD I bought off of someone selling on the floor of the subway. And it's loud. It's all shouting. It's all, like, parents arguing in outer space.
Right. That and that Logan movie was loud. They're just, the movies are loud now, man. Like, I don't know. And I still go to rock concerts and everything and whatever, but I'll go to, like, I'll leave a movie like Logan and I'm like, damn, my ears are hurt.
Yeah. People like harsh stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, like, you couldn't talk.
You guys are listening to Marilyn Manson. I can't listen to that. That stuff's too rough.
I only did it because Dave, I had never listened to that album in its entirety. It's intense, man. It's funny. And it's funny because it was offensive when it came out, and it's like more offensive now. Like if it was still relevant and people like listened to what he was saying, they'd still be angry. It's lyrically, it is rough. It is rough. And the funny thing about that Guardians Galaxy 2 is like killing the ego kind of thing, like just how plain they make it for the kids.
Yeah, it's like
his dad's name is Ego, and he has to kill him to be like free.
That's funny because I happened upon seeing the movie The Kill List. I just saw it blindly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah.
There's like a British crime sort of indie drama.
Oh, The Kill?
The Kill List.
Oh, okay. I'll check that
but
out.
Then it segs into this, like, you know, pagan horror, like Wicker Man style, like, you know, child sacrifice ritual, like, you know, with folk masks and everything. Like, holy shit.
Check that out.
The Happy Mondays become Death in June all of a sudden.
There's a lot of it out there, man. There's a lot. I don't know. It's pretty normal on TV shows and just everywhere to see that stuff. It really is. Like True Detective, I remember, was the one thing when that came out. That's how I got into a lot of, like, Michael Hughes did a really cool, like, breakdown of the esoteric stuff in it. And it's just really as plain as you can, like, they're just really putting it out there hard.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's fun. I mean, I have a son. My son's going to be 9, so he's, like, right in the throes of just comic books and, you know, toys and all the kid stuff in the song.
Yeah.
It's all, like, insane.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's just insane in that how much it resonates with my own childhood. I was like, I guess they just land up like, but, you know, the Yellow Submarines and...
Yeah, he's got all the same stuff you do. Ninja Turtles.
Dragons, and, like, you know, like, little guys that run around in the desert bonking each other and speaking gibberish.
He gets to learn Star Wars all again, too. Like, it's you guys are
he's deep in it. He's deep in it, and he's already at the radical opinion phase. How he ranks the films? It's Return of the Jedi, Attack of the Clones, Force Awakens, Episode 8, the rest don't count.
That's hilarious.
He's like, that's no good. He's like, the original Star Wars is garbage. Like, Empire Strikes Back, get that off my screen. He won't even watch it.
That's funny. Oh my god. That's
cool. Well, it's...
Attack of the Clones is the one that it was. That's the one I was like, you like his stuff? It's like, get out of here. This is the worst. But I actually see where I can kind of see where he's going. There's some wild taxi driver in episode 2.
Well, with Star Wars in mind, there's a part of me that loves the fact that now it's going to, like, it was a complete universe, but now it's going to just, like, expand exponentially. So there'll be, like, 2 or 3 movies every year forever, and they'll
it's
just...
It's always been like that. I mean, I read the Star Wars comics that were in Marvel in the 70s. That stuff was... had a completely different idea about Star Wars. It wasn't like tied up in mysticism and stuff, but it was more just like crazy weirdos in outer space ships.
Yeah.
You know, with mock goals and like badass chicks.
But there's a part of me that thinks that it would be really interesting to capitalize on, like, to bring Danny back to the Overlook, like open that up and like create, I mean, not
the actual guy.
Yeah.
Danny Lloyd. I don't know if he'd go in. Maybe.
Like the movie or where you ended up, like the idea that now he's the age that he actually has to face the real demons. And
we're past that point. I mean, I thought that we came through the other side.
In what way? How do you get there?
Just, I mean, me personally, I think that if there was some sort of link up with The Shining and a wrestling with it, and it all kind of based around the time that Room 237 came out, like my Hollywood years, I guess.
so probably, like, you know, the 2012 thing was a thing.
Probably moving back to New York was the escape. And I really, to tell you the truth, I haven't really messed with it. Like, if you look at the KK12 blog, it kind of stops a few years ago. And even then, like, the 2 years before that was barely touched on. I don't obsess with The Shining the way I used to.
That, you know, that's
so probably, there's something to be said for, I mean, this is the, you know, kind of the post mirror phase.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously what you got here. I mean, it's got a life of its own sort of now, you know. You know, people's just doing, you know, doing it at their house and doing screenings like this.
People have done it at colleges on their own, and sometimes they contact me, sometimes they don't. I mean, it's all fine and well.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, did you say specifically that
there
was
only be anonymous?
Right. What were you saying, Doug?
My house is starting to fill up with people, but was there some connection to, for you personally, Room 237, The Shining, and then 2012, the whole 2012 phenomenon and the you know, the end of the world?
Oh yeah, I mean, I wasn't vibing on that as much. I mean, it occurred to me, but it sort of, at that point, the number 12 meant more to me than. Than sort of Mayan calendar. No, I did get a Mayan calendar. I think it's great. There was this great concept of the Mayan calendar. There was one day a year outside of time of indeterminate length. That there's always this exception in the system. So you never really know what time it is. Unless you're paying attention.
Yeah.
But 12, I was vibing on there's one sequence in The Shining. It's after he's had an argument with Wendy and he's walking through the lobby and he hears the music from the Gold Room across the hall. And there's this one shot of, tracking shot down the length of the hallway with like balloons, but they're fallen balloons. I call it the fallen balloon party. It's the 12 second long, shot. And there's 24 balloons on the floor and they're arranged. Like according to seasons, I go into it more in more detail in my blog. So that's the kind of thing I was thinking about when everyone was sort of like end of time. That just seemed like kind of a rave thing, like Y2K. Apocalypse already happened.
Right? Yeah, they were post.
Yeah, post. You can just remember it. Reflect on it.
2012 was a crazy year. When was, Doug, do you have any idea when the last time I talked to you was, when that would have been?
I'm pretty sure it was 2015. It was like the, I'm not certain. I want to say that it was the early spring of 2015.
Yeah. Because I had some real weirdness after that talk. Real weirdness.
Where is your blog at, John?
What's that?
Where's your blog? Is it?
It's kdk12.
Okay.
.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
I literally haven't touched it in years.
Sure. No, I understand. Like, so from your perspective, this was a thing that you're done with, like the transformation happened?
No, I mean, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to make a book out of it. Like, I go back and edit it. But the, like, the need and obsessive desire to research The Shining has passed. It's like a 3-year period.
Mm. Yeah.
I started there too with when my sync journey started too. It was funny because it was definitely more interested in the book itself, and then the correspondences with the book to my life as it was happening around me. But there's something about like Jack's age and where he was at with his kids, you know, like his stage, this idea of responsibility with his own personal selfish, like the ego again, the selfish desires. Yeah. What he wants out of life versus what is really asked of him, and where he's willing to compromise.
Well, in my own life, I'd say like when my family finally reached the age that reflected in The Shining, where the son is 6. I think Danny is 6. And the dad 42. When I got to be that age, when I turned 42, actually, I think my last post was when my 42nd birthday. Then I became really focused on work and family. And that's, you know, raising the son. Teaching the son, you know, the golden rule and all that became a big focus. And the compromise is that, you know, my creativity is dormant. But, so that's how I got out of the loop. You know, stop writing this stupid repetitive novel. You're scaring the kids. And just see a dad.
Right. But you still get to go out. What instrument do you play?
It's all an electronic band. And I do. I'm the vocalist. Or a vocalist.
Nice. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, Doug, you know, it's fun. There's, YouTube is where it's YouTube's our medium. Our media.
Okay. I'll check that out.
Yeah, just Google Accepter on YouTube and you'll find it.
Cool. I'll give it a look. Sweet. Well, I better get off and get to it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, this was fun. Do you think I could use this after chat also as member exclusive content stuff?
I have no problem with that.
I don't think I said anything that I wouldn't say.
Okay, I could definitely preview it with run it by you guys before if that's what is necessary.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you real quick on something? So after we talked last, like the first time I talked to you, Doug, Andros was there and Alan, and they did the Radio 8 Ball.
Right.
And then I asked something crazy. I didn't know. I was nervous as hell. But I asked something about the afterlife.
Yes.
And I kept getting the Tower Tarot that, you know, at that time. Oh, just could not escape it. And then when we talked, oh, yeah, the song that he played was off the record we were talking about. And it totally dealt with, like, ghosts and the afterlife. It spooked me out. And the next week, I got in this crazy car accident. Like, totally totaled my car in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, driving to this work conference thing. And that was, like, that was the end of that cycle. But, man, it was, like, going back and listening to what I was talking about and stuff. It was a trip. The kitty was in that basket. I don't know if I told you that or not. I think I sent Alan a message about it, but it was really...
I think so. I remember that. I mean, was there a chance? Were you Could you have died?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It's because I was thrown into, like, a tree line, and my car was getting just battered. And when the truck driver came to get my car, he saw the police officer, and they're like, he was like, what'd they do with the body? I mean, like, and I was standing there and heard him say that. And then he was like, he drove me. I ended up getting in his car to drive me to town. And he was like, he's like, I hate picking up cars like this. And he's like, I'll tell you what, looking at your car, that looks like one that they usually pull people from. Like, that's not, you're very lucky. And so that was a whole, you know, that was a whole mess of things. And it was just funny because it happened about a week after I had asked this question about the afterlife and all this stuff. And it was really, really just a wake up call and kind of changed things for me a little bit.
Wild.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
All right. Well, you guys have a good day and I'll get to work on this stuff and I'll send you links when I have something ready.
Sounds good. Nice to meet you, John. Thanks for doing this.
Super dupes.
Okay, you guys take care.
Bye-bye. All right. See ya.